My guests today are Patrick Hunter and Hans Friedrichs. They are both longtime performers and behind-the-scenes movers at the Barn Theater of Augusta. And we're here to cover the entire summer season, as well as the opening gala. And Patrick and Hans, it's great to meet you. Thank you for coming to WMUK.
Thank you for having us.
Really appreciate getting the chance to meet face-to-face and, you know, absorb some of the energy coming from this theater, which is a legendary theater in our midst. I just opened the website, and it says it's your 73rd season.
Yes.
Could we get started with a little personal history and how you came to work with the theater and, you know, what you think it represents in Kalamazoo and
sure.
West Michigan? We'll start with you, Hans.
Yeah, I am originally from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I grew up on the other side of the state, but I didn't know about the Barn until I was introduced by a family friend and a Western grad, Paul Kelly, who is the associate scenic designer on the Broadway Phantom. He studied scenic design here, but he was a family friend, and I was graduating from college, and he suggested the Barn to me. And so I came over here, and I was here for 2 seasons as an apprentice, and then I joined their equity company, and then I was gone for many, many years. Actually, Penelope, who Ragazzi, or Penelope Alex is her stage name, and Brendan and I are all around the same age, and we were apprentices together, Penelope and I. And then I was gone for many years working in New York as an actor, and then I sort of transitioned into directing. And I came back about, 2011, and have been part of the company since then.
Mm-hmm. Because it offers you, you like doing lots of different things.
I do. It's for me,
that is
having come through the
actor.
Apprentice program. And I had been at another theater where I was really dealing with a lot of apprentice program up in New Hampshire. But to me, the wonderful part about it is now I'm kind of the old man on the block and get to train these young actors. I think one of the things that the Barn is most famous for is our apprentice program. And we're one of the few summer theaters in the country anymore that really has this kind of opportunity for young people who are studying theater to work with an equity company, to work with professionals, which is always different from an academic setting, and to allow them to have the experience to get on stage, to do things like we have a bar show in our bar afterwards, mm-hmm. and they will perform a 3-set cabaret, mm-hmm. and it's really a remarkable experience. I don't know if I can totally describe what that is. You do everything, but you also get an understanding of every job in the theater, from ushering, parking cars. And, you know, I think a lot of people think, well, why do I need to know that? But I think the more you have an understanding of every facet of this business, which is something that Jack and Betty Ragazzi, who founded the theater, wanted to instill in all of us. And I think it's why we've had so many success stories. Because it teaches you to balance. If you can get through a summer at the Barn, you can get to New York and balance the job and auditions and all the craziness that New York or Chicago or wherever will throw at you. And that's something you can't teach in an academic setting, I think.
That's peer-to-peer sweat throughout the entire season.
Absolutely.
What does it feel like when you've accomplished another season? Let's start at
relief.
The end.
Relief. I think we all sleep for about 3 weeks.
That's true.
Give us an idea of the pace. How many shows happen during the summer? Here's Patrick.
Sure. We do, now we're doing 8 shows a summer. And the way we work is it's a traditional summer stock schedule where we rehearse one show while we perform the other show at night. So our day is spent in rehearsal and our night is spent on the stage. That also means we have a new set, new costumes, new everything. And it's every 2 weeks, except for what we do these these days, the first two shows are 1 week runs. And then, so that's really quick for us. And then we settle into our 2 week schedule. So the big, usually like the big musicals will be in the center of the season. So we'll have 2 weeks to put those up. Like this year, it's Sweeney Todd and Mamma Mia, are kind of the biggest titles that we have this year. And certainly the most, all hands on deck of the shows. But yeah, we work really quickly. It's 2 weeks. And a lot of the time, certainly in an academic setting, you're looking at a 6 week rehearsal process, maybe eight in some senses. So that's a big part of the learning process as well. And a big part of what we teach, it's learning how to absorb and retain and be consistent and take things away, right? Learn what you need to write down in rehearsal or what you need to attach to so that you can come back and have improved from where you left it before, because we don't have, we certainly are not poring over every moment. We leave a lot up to the actor.
Okay, if you're doing one of the evening show performances as an actor, mm-hmm. does that mean you don't have to work on the show that's coming up?
Or no.
So you might have a role every night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But be learning something else at the same time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if my brain could handle that.
Sometimes we don't either, be perfectly honest.
Well, it's interesting. You learn how to compartmentalize a little bit, you know, yes. and you learn how to think this is my rehearsal brain and this is my performance brain, you know. And it, you know, we have a nice long break in the day right before the performance, and everybody yes. can kind of go home and have a meal and rest and gear your mind up for it. Almost, to me, to be honest, it almost feels like two different days when it's happening. It's like one day is in rehearsal and then the second day is in performance.
Yeah. I mean, people often say, you know, how do you do it so quickly? And then we have this thing that we refer to as barn time, which is a barn week or like a barn day is like, I don't know, like 3 days. And suddenly you stop in the evening and you go, oh, that was just this morning. It felt like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are, you know, and it depends on what you're doing, because I've certainly had shows where I look at the script every night before I go on.
Well, refreshing is
important. Yeah. Yeah, just get my mind back into it.
Well, my guests here today are Patrick Hunter and Hans Friedrichs, and they're both with the Barn Theater in various capacities. I know that, Patrick, you're running the box office.
Yes.
So you're not there to answer the phone right now, but there is a phone number.
Absolutely, and people are there to answer the phone right now.
Well, other people, good. Okay, then that number is 269-731-4121, and they'll be happy to talk to you about season passes as well as individual things. And there is an opening night or an opening gala to get everyone on board. And this event is happening this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. This Saturday.
It's coming up June 1st, and it'll be at the Barn Theater. So nice. I think this is a ticketed event, and it helps to raise funds for the organization, but it'll also feature lots of performances and auction. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can talk a little more about that.
Sure. This is to kick off the season, and we are also starting something new this year, which is the Barn Theater Wall of Fame. So we have 16 inductees, and I believe they are, as of yet, a secret.
I was about to spill a couple of them, but I guess I can't.
I think they are, and we will induct them and also honor them with some of our alums who have had success in the film industry, or will sort of profile their careers a little bit. And then we'll also have performances that will go along with it. We will be performing a few selections from some of their signature roles throughout the years. And so that's our way of honoring them, of those who have come through the barn, and it's really celebrating the homegrown talent that we have, because it is such a long list,
and not just performers. Mm-hmm. I know there are a couple in there that are.
I mean, I know
members of the community and backstage. And
there's Kim Zimmer.
Oh sure,
there's
Tom Wopat, Lauren Graham, Jennifer Garner,
Maren Mazey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying that you're honoring people who went on into the industry in various
capacities.
In various forms, mm-hmm. or have just been longly associated with the barn, mm-hmm. and members of our barn family for a long time.
Wonderful. So that's coming up just this Saturday. What time does it start?
It starts at 8 o'clock, and I do want to say we also will preview the season as part of that performance.
Yes.
We'll have our apprentice company, and they do sort of one signature song from every big musical that we're doing. So it not only introduces our patrons to this year's group of apprentices, but it also gives a chance to hear some music from the season and maybe see what you like and what you get excited about.
For those who haven't been to the barn in a long time or maybe ever, but give us a description of the feel of the space and, you know, the capacities that you have to put on these shows.
It is a barn. It was an old dairy barn, and I think it was built sometime in the late 30s, early 40s. It wasn't actually a barn that long because I think we moved in either 49 or 50. We had been in Richland, and I think under a different name, the Village Players. But it is a barn. Our seating capacity is, what do we say, 426?
426.
426 seats. The size of the stage is actually a fairly good size. It's a little smaller than a Broadway stage, but honestly not much. And different, you know, we've made improvements over the years. When I was an intern, there was no stage left. And I came back and they had built onto the theater, and there now is a stage left and a new costume shop. And sometimes I just go stage left and stand and relish in the glory. There was a very steep staircase when I was an apprentice there. And, you know, so you could only take scenery off stage right. But no, the grounds are lovely. You know, and we're also in the midst of planning a lot of improvements to the physical space this year. So in the coming years, there's going to be things to look forward to. We have our rehearsal shed, which is where we rehearse, which is a separate building. But it's also a bar after the before and after the performances. And we do dinners there now on, I think it's three nights out of the week, not Sundays. But people come and have dinner there and have a drink before the show. But then after the show, we have our bar show.
A cabaret.
Mm-hmm. We have three sets, and it's where you get to see our apprentice company really do their stuff. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally, you know, guest artists and thing. Robert Newman will make an appearance, I'm sure, down there. Mm-hmm. But it's a great, fun evening.
Now, you've really stressed how important it is for the next generation of actors to have something like the Barn Theater, and that these opportunities are actually pretty limited nationally.
Absolutely. They are. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little about who are these young people, where they come from, how they're admitted for the summer.
Sure. The vast majority of our apprentices are undergrad students who are studying theater at various universities, who are doing this as a summer, it's an internship, an apprenticeship. And they sort of come from everywhere now. I mean, that's kind of the magic of video, you know, it's that you can audition from anywhere. And so we get a lot of people, usually a lot from the Midwest or from certain schools kind of in this immediate area. Like we have, I think, a good handful of Western students this year, and we have for the last few years. But it's not just here. I mean, I found it from Ithaca, New York, when I was in undergrad, just because a friend of mine told me about it, you know. And so it sort of has that word of mouth reputation. So applicants come in from really universities all over the country, and then they either arrange to audition or to send in a video and an application. And it goes a little bit beyond just the audition. You know, they need recommendations from professors and things like that so that we can make sure we're getting people who really have an earnest desire to learn the business and who really want to jump in and go for it. Because they are, we ask a lot of them, but it's incredibly rewarding. I mean, we both started as in the apprentice program, as did most of our staff, you know, and there's I instantly fell in love with it just because I felt like our theater has a really unique and deep connection to the community that it serves in a way that's incredibly fulfilling for an actor to be able to have that sort of personal feeling with the audience.
So for many of these incoming interns, they have taken theater seriously probably since high school, and I've had a number of opportunities to perform and be part of community productions, theater, university productions. This might be their first professional theater.
Yes,
a lot of the time it is,
and they start to realize what the difference is between the two, and there is a difference, you know, and it's something that I try to impart to them of all the things when I was their age that I was too stupid or too scared to ask, and try to give them a leg up in the business. But honestly, and I think that's the thing is, you know, we are rehearsing in the room where we were both apprentices, and it keeps you very honest. You remember things about when you were their age, so you can relate to it. And we've all cleaned the toilets. I mean, that's really the bottom line. So, you know, when we ask them to do something like that, it's nothing that we haven't done ourselves. And we do it, and we do it for our patrons, and our patrons are a community. We get to know them. And they're very good to us. And we are, you know, we take the responsibility of being their theater very seriously. And it's lovely. You know, now that I've been back, you know, and get to know some of our patrons and build up a relationship, and you know, we chat on Facebook over the year and things like that. But we actually have a you know, when we say all over, you know, we are all over the United States. But we actually this year, and I don't know whether it's the first time, but we actually have a young man who is studying at University of Michigan, but he's actually from Hong Kong. So I think he may be possibly our first international.
There you go.
Apprentice, which is great.
I'm speaking with Hans Friedrichs, a resident director and an actor with Barn Theater. Patrick Hunter, actor, director, box office manager with the Barn Theater. The website is barntheaterschool.org. That school is important for those who are enrolled. We just talked about the interns who come from all over the country to be part of this. But for you know, for audience purposes, it's the Barn Theater of Augusta, and we're here to also talk about the season. So thank you for being so forthcoming with your backgrounds and really what puts this school together, this theater together. It sounds like it's blood, sweat, and tears and a little actor's equity. So let's talk about the season. How are you kicking it off?
I will take this one.
Yes.
So the first show, which opens next Tuesday, June 4th, is Disaster the Musical. And this is actually, I won't call it a full remount because it's a little bit different, but it's a production that we did last year to close the season, which I directed. And it is a loving spoof of 1970s disaster movies like Poseidon Adventure, Earthquake, The Towering Inferno, all of the various airport, whatever they are, 77, 78, 70, there are a million of them. But
75, don't forget 75. I think that's my favorite.
Yeah. But what they did was they took that idea and then they set it all to a disco score. So it's radio hits from the 70s and a lot of really recognizable music. You know, Hot Stuff is the theme that kind of goes through, but it's also I Will Survive and I Am Woman and all of these just really great songs. And it is just a blast. And we had so much fun with it last year and our patrons had so much fun with it that we decided to bring it back because we only ran it for a week last year and it kind of left everyone wanting more because it's really delightful and silly and fun. And we actually this year have a great opportunity to incorporate some new material into the show because I had a chance encounter with Seth Rudetsky, who wrote Disaster the Musical, who also is most famous for being the Broadway channel host on Sirius XM. And so he, but he also wrote the musical, and I ran into him and he said, "Oh my gosh, you're doing it again. Let me give you all of the new material." So we have some new scenes, we have some rearrangements of old scenes, we have some things, and he was like, "Well, I wasn't happy with this joke, so I put this instead, and then I did that." And so we have all of this new stuff. So it's a lot of it's the same, but then there is some new and exciting things. We're kind of challenging ourselves to improve upon what we had last year so we can deliver something that's really exciting and fun.
So
Last year was our out of town tryout. This year it's strictly Broadway.
Yes.
The refreshment has occurred, refreshingly outdated.
Yes.
So that's actually starting next Tuesday.
It is.
And details and tickets are at barntheaterschool.org. And of course, the gala is June 1st. We're going to cover the season here, but if you want to see even more insight into the season, attend the gala at the Barn Theater on Saturday at 8 o'clock, and you'll learn from the actors themselves, from all the people behind the scenes, what's really going to happen this summer. Well, moving on, we have a show opening on June 11th called Love, Lies, and the Doctor's Dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new title for me.
It is a new title. It's a very new title, and I think that we are the first. It's been produced a couple of places, but I think that we are the first professional theater to be presenting it. So that's exciting for us.
It is. That's what I love about theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is here in Kalamazoo, people head to New York, you know, in the summertime, like high school directors, and, you know, they go and they check out what's happening right now, knowing that in 3 years that those scripts and those scores might land right on mm-hmm. their desk, you know? That doesn't happen in movies.
No.
Theater is such a living organism, mm-hmm. and it's all interconnected. It's wonderful.
And we have a long history at the Barn of presenting these farces.
Yes.
We have, over the years, we've done countless, and they're all these sort of fun and zany, exciting, madcap adventures with a lot of mistaken identity and confusion and things like that. So Love, Lies, and the Doctor's Dilemma is sort of our opportunity to do a new one, right? One that people don't know, but it's still in the vein of that kind of classic British farce, even though this one, I think it's written by a British man for Americans.
Oh, well, that was news to me. So.
Well, that's some insight now that you have. Mm-hmm. And it says one little white lie leads to another in this farce that comes complete with a former movie star, a mobster hitman, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So,
and hopefully some opening and closing doors.
Oh, yes.
Oh, plenty of doors.
All right. That's June 11th. We've talked about Disaster on June 4th opening, and opening on June 11th, Love, Lies, and the Doctor's Dilemma. Then we hit another musical starting June 18th. This is called the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Yes.
And Hans, are you directing?
I am directing that one. Yeah, it's a terrific show that was Tony nominated on Broadway. It's not a big show. It's a sort of a small show, but it follows a spelling bee and the students and really their parents and their lives. But there's also audience participation. We have some guest spellers in there as well. But it's a really charming show that has a lot of heart, and it is the first time that we've done it. It came out, I think, 2004. But it's interesting. We didn't do it right at hot off the presses, but it is still relevant. It is still a wonderful piece of theater. And I think that, you know, we could probably cast it about six times over with our terrific company. Mm-hmm. But, it is a smaller musical, which is kind of nice for us because it has a sort of an intimate feel. And that's the wonderful thing about the actual physical space of the Barn is, sometimes it feels like a huge Broadway theater to me, and sometimes it feels like the most intimate theater. It has that, it sort of goes with whatever is put on its stage. Mm. And it as many things as I've directed there, the shape of the space always seems to change, which is, you can't say that about every theater.
Here's where if your lighting director is listening, they're shouting at the radio saying, I'm making that happen.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
and the scenic designer.
And the scenic designer. Now, I have seen the 25th Annual Putnam Spelling Bee, and I love how you are introduced to everyone in the cast, and it turns out by the end of the show, you know each of them
yes.
so intimately.
Yeah, and they're all kids that there's something a little off-center about all of them, but you find yourself relating to each and every character. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I say sweet and that seems sort of vague, but it really is.
It's dramatic too.
It is dramatic. Yeah. It is dramatic. And it goes in places that you don't expect it to be. And it's funny. It still makes me laugh.
Yeah. Well, there's opportunity for some improvisation. Isn't there like a
fair amount.
He's had it up to here, judge.
Yeah. I don't think that any two performances are going to be exactly alike, which is, I think, why it sort of gets a repeat audience. Mm-hmm. People want to see what happens from night to night, which is live theater.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break since you've been working very hard getting us started on this season, and we're going to listen to the opening number of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. It opens June 18th at the Barn Theater, and you can find out details on the show and ticket prices and much more at barntheaterschool.org. And don't forget, this Saturday is the opening gala, which will unveil the Wall of Honor?
Wall of Fame,
Wall
I think
of
we're
fame.
Calling it.
Wall of Fame.
Yes.
You'll be surprised how many faces and people who are honored there that have made a huge difference in West Michigan. And we'll be back with Hans Friedrichs and Patrick Hunter from the Barn Theater.
Miss Peretti, please spell syzygy.
Y Z Y G Y Syzygy?
We have a winner!
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you!
At the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, my parents keep on telling me just being here is winning, although I know it isn't so.
But it's a very nice, very, very nice,
very, very, very nice, very nice beginning.
Our winner here last year, Chip Tolentino.
We just heard the opening of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, and Hans Friedrichs is directing the Barn Theater's production, which opens June 18th. What an enjoyable opening to this 6-minute set piece. Introduces all the characters.
Yep.
Is that how it gets
in
started?
In traditional musical theater form, but with a very contemporary feel.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a lot of bubbly sort of happy feel to it, although,
it
you know, the interactions are already beginning.
Right.
So that opens June 18th. Anything else about how you're envisioning it or what your concept is for this show?
No, I think some of the doubling that was done originally will be different in our production. I think that's sort of the biggest thing. But I think that's a show that very much speaks for itself. And I'm very excited to do it because I think we're going to have a terrific cast.
Yeah. Have either of you been part of the evaluating applications for the young people coming to study at the Barn Theater this summer?
It's no, Brendan and Penelope largely do that over the winter. And I'm always interested to see who they choose because they have an eye not only for talent, but individuals. Mm-hmm. I feel like the apprentices that we get here are not cookie cutter apprentices that sometimes you get at other theaters. There's always something interesting about them. And we don't tend to hire, even though they play ensemble or chorus, as if you will, for many of the shows, we don't tend to hire sort of chorus kids. They're all people that we look at and we think, you have potential. You have potential to, even if you don't play it this season or next season, or even while you're an intern. I was an intern with Lauren Graham, and we knew she was terrifically talented. We knew there was something about her, And yet, I don't think she actually ever played a role in one of the musicals. She had a role in a play where she actually played somebody who was like 20 years older than she was. She writes about it in her book. So I'm not telling tales out of school. But I'm always sort of amazed because I look at them and I get to know them and I kind of go, ah, this is why you're here. Mm-hmm. And there's always something, there's a specialness about them.
Mm-hmm. Are there intern or young actors who do you get surprised? Do you find them, things really work for them or things really don't work for them? And what do you try to do in those situations?
Both. I think we tend to concentrate on the ones that do and the growth. We have a member of our equity company, Johnny Karpathios, who started out 3 summers ago, very quiet, very shy, weren't quite sure. And then all of a sudden, midway through the summer, I think it was a bar show number that I saw him do from South Park. And I went, oh, you're funny. Interesting. Okay. And I think that's all I said to him, which is a little daunting. But Johnny has grown through his time with us and, I mean, really developed into an incredibly fine actor with kind of a huge range of he can play geeky and character-y to handsome leading man, you know, and he is funny. He's very funny in Disaster. But he's also, he was our Clyde in Bonnie and Clyde last year. And when you see that kind of growth, and even Patrick here. Patrick was an intern under me. His last season as an intern, so he knows. But it's great. And Patrick and I now have a very different kind of relationship. And I don't know. To me personally, that's sort of the most rewarding thing.
Well, and the versatility, I think, is a huge aspect of what you learn when you work at the Barn, because we call upon people. It's not like we don't pick a brand new cast for every show. We're casting out of the same pool. So people might be called upon to do a different style than they've ever done before, or yes. One show in the season might be really up their alley and the other one they're like, I don't know if I can do this, right? But you have to, and you learn how to do it, right? So people can learn different skills that they have or different abilities or, you know, a different vocal style that they're not used to singing, or yes. Maybe somebody becomes a dancer. Wow. I was once a jet in West Side Story at the Barn Theater, which I never thought that I could do, but I pulled it off.
That was both of us, not dancers. Mm-hmm.
Doing things you didn't know you could do.
Exactly. Yep. That's
very empowering. Yeah. We're into the season of the Barn Theater by a few shows. Starts with Disaster, then A Farce, Love Lies, and The Doctor's Dilemma, and then the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And then we are into July, and one of the modern classics of our time, Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd. Indeed. This starts on July 2nd. This will probably be the focus, a major focus of the summer season, although it's still just a 2-week run.
It is. We actually have done it once before with Barbara Marinot and Tom Wopat, but we are doing it again for Robert Newman, who was also an apprentice for us, and, you know, has come back. He's been so good to us and such a terrific presence, because he brings a wealth of professional experience.
What can you tell me about his career?
His career for a long time was on, why am I blanking on this? Guiding Light, along with Kim Zimmer, and that's how Kim came to us. But yeah, for many, many years. But he's also, since Guiding Light has ended, he has worked so hard, harder than any actor I know, to really sort of reinvent himself and forge a career in musical theater. And he's been working all over the country, you know, playing everything from Daddy Warbucks to Don Quixote and Men of La Mancha to Little Night Music. And this has sort of been on his wish list for a long time.
Lucky to have him here.
we are, but it's exciting. And actually, in the original Broadway company of Sweeney Todd, we had a Barney, Merrill Louise. We have Barneys are all over the place. I mean, and that really is true. We have posters in our rehearsal shed of Broadway shows, and they're only Broadway shows that Barneys have been in. But it's pretty much every Broadway show in the last 40 years, which is kind of amazing.
Well, yeah, now's the time to tout the season and tout the barn because the new season is getting started. It's season 73. The gala is this Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Barn Theater. You can find out more on tickets and full calendar details at barntheaterschool.org. So Sweeney Todd will be the dark heart of summer.
Yes, it will.
Yes.
I happen to love dark, tragic
theater
when it's fully thought out and earned and you just can't see it happening any other way.
Right.
I love being pulled along into a story that even though I want things to suddenly change and get better, they can't.
Yeah.
And go ahead. And Sweeney Todd is one of the great scores in musical theater history. I mean, the music is just absolutely stunning.
And I happen to know, just behind the scenes word about this, your music director is Brent Decker.
Yes.
And I think he'll be running a lot of the musicals over the season.
Yep.
And the little pit that could.
Yeah.
handling all of the immense and professional playing required for these productions.
Well, and our company this year really has tremendous vocal chops. The opening of Sweeney Todd, the Ballad of Sweeney Todd, is one of the things that they're going to be performing at the gala. Mm. And I walked in the other night mid-rehearsal, and it's complex musically. It's very complex, and you need really terrific voices. And I was kind of like, oh, my God. And I was like, okay, we're fine. We're fine. We'll be great. The other thing I should mention is Penelope Alex Ragazzi is going to be Mrs. Lovett in Sweeney Todd. And so the fact that we get to reunite Robert and her, who have played opposite each other several times, at least three in my memory, I think is going to make it a very, very special piece.
Well, would you put in a word with them to have Penelope and Robert show up here at WMUK to preview this production?
I'm sure we can arrange that.
At the end of June.
I'm directing it, so I'll let them out of rehearsal.
Okay. Thank you, Hans. So we're moving into July, and it's Sweeney is followed by another musical, Big.
Yes, Big, the musical, is based on the 1987 film starring Tom Hanks. It's kind of become a classic, and it really is. It's that film just put onto the stage, and it's a really sweet show and a lot of heart. And I just love the idea of the kid wants to be an adult, and then the adult wants to be a kid again. You know, I mean, that's sort of that's timeless. You know, and everybody can relate to that. So it's really a family friendly show, but there's something for the adults too. It's certainly not. I wouldn't call it a kid's show, even though it is a kid friendly show, which I think is an important distinction. You know, because there is a lot for the adults to relate to as well, and. You know, there is the classic piano scene, dancing on the piano. That's the one question everybody asks is, are you going to have the piano? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. Everything else, it really is. It's almost scene by scene from the movie. They've just taken it, put it on stage, rewritten it a little bit, and added songs to it. And the music is really fun. It has that sort of... like a slightly electronic kind of 90s Broadway sound, you know, that kind of matches up with the subject matter and the time period. And it does sort of feel a little like video gamey and sweet and fun and catchy. And you can kind of dance in your seat to it a little bit, I think.
Are you directing this one, Patrick?
I am.
So this is the one that in your mind you're already like, this is the tone I want, this is the look I want. This is
Yes, and it's a show that I'm less familiar with, so I'm still in the process, you know, and I will be really until we start in the process of just wrapping my mind around it. And it's like, what is this show really about? What does it feel like? What is it? How can we best tell the story?
You know, when a conductor prepares to lead an orchestral performance, they look at the page and they learn the notes on the page and they convey that to the orchestra and you recreate what's right there. In music theater, you all mess around with
With
scenes, you cut
whole numbers. Not sometimes yes, sometimes
I'm
no.
I'm just saying you take so many more freedoms than maybe
well,
some
it's
other.
Limited. It's limited. I mean, we're very lucky, like with Disaster, that we get this new material. Mm-hmm. And that's a lovely relationship to have. With Sweeney, there are sort of approved cuts that you can make or not. It really sort of depends. I think the biggest thing that we do as directors, and certainly at the Barn, is not just to remount the production that's been, you know, on Broadway or whatever, is to make it our own and to tailor it to our own company.
For success.
And to, you know, I don't want to say reinvent, but sometimes it is. And it just depends on what the show is. I mean, I did a Little Mermaid 2 summers ago that was drastically different. I mean, physically, in the physical production, from what the Broadway had been. But it was sort of based on what I felt we could do and what I felt was theatrical or magical. And
I think that's why, you know, theater directors have it pretty good, because they get to
sometimes
reimagine.
Sometimes you're kind of like, how do I do this? What do I do with this?
Well, we're in about the last 9 minutes of our time today. So let's move on to July 30th. This is a straight play, right? Steel
yes.
Magnolias.
The classic Steel Magnolias.
Did it start as a play?
It did. Oh. It did, and we were one of the first summer theaters to do it. I think this is the third time we've done it, but it's such a terrific piece, and, you know, such great roles for women.
Yeah, I think we need to mention.
Yes, and we've got some fabulous women coming in for this. Kim Zimmer will be back, and she's not been with us for a couple of years, and she's going to be in it. Laurie Moore, who is a local...
Yes.
Fabulous lady.
Absolutely.
And
we all know Lori.
Yeah, exactly. And she's so great, and she's so positive, and she's going to be in it. And Jennifer Fernie, who's also local area, and Penelope Alex is going to also be in that. But it is one of those plays that I think the Barn does exceptionally well. And my first introduction to it, I had never seen it, and the first time that we did it, I was in the room when we did the read through, and I didn't know what to expect. I knew it took place in a beauty shop. That was kind of it. And Betty Ragazzi was the lead in it. And I just remember sobbing at the end of it. It's funny, but I think actually one of the lines in the plays is something, laughter through tears. And I can't think of a more human wonder. I mean, that's what theater is about.
It opens on July 30th at the Barn Theater, and the website is barntheaterschool.org. We're into August now, the last two shows. Opening on the 13th is Mamma Mia.
Yes.
For those who don't know, this is a sort of a getaway musical on a Greek island, and a woman who had some flings way back when, and her daughter still doesn't know quite who the father...
Could be one of three fathers. So, it's a guilty pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I can say.
And somehow they took existing songs by the greatest band on ever, ABBA, and made them work perfectly in this.
Oh, and there's a reason why it's been so successful internationally. I mean, it's just infectious. You know, Mamma Mia is one of those shows you can't help but smile, and you can't help but, like I said before, dance in your seat. You know, it's just like the music has that energy to it, and the characters are lovable, and it's just a delight.
Anybody I know directing this one?
Not either of us.
Oh, okay.
I don't think. Not that we know of. I think it'll probably be Brendan.
You may find out in mid-July.
Yeah, right.
So that starts August 13th. And finally, Evil Dead, the musical.
Yes. Evil Dead, the musical, is a fun take on the cult classic horror movies. And it really takes every opportunity to... pay homage to them, and also sort of lovingly spoof horror movies, and it's really funny. That's what I'm really struck by with that score, because I actually wasn't as familiar with that, and I listened to it and I was like, oh my gosh, the lyrics are hilarious. Everybody turns into a demon at some point. Everybody, there's Tons of blood everywhere.
That's my question.
Maybe more blood than Sweeney.
Tons. You know, more. Yes, probably the most blood.
Right. You're going to be creating blood baths on stage.
Oh, absolutely.
Every night. What is that?
And we may have a splash zone. We're not sure yet.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
For both Sweeney and for Evil Dead.
Exactly. Right. That seems to be the theme this season.
Yeah.
As someone who likes to clean at home, how do you literally get the red stuff off your stage?
Yeah.
Well, that is going to be the question of the season. We'll workshop it in Sweeney before we get to that. But that is a question. I don't think I've ever directed a show that had, this much blood in it. So we'll be working with our props designer and our costume designer.
Well, and that's about where we have to leave it.
Yep.
Today. Patrick and Hans, it's been a delight to cover the whole season with you, and I hope I get to talk to you again during the season as we look at specific shows. I think we'll end here with a little something from Sweeney Todd.
Great.
And remind listeners again that the box office phone number, which is staffed, is it staffed daily? Like
10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day.
10 to 10.
10 to 10.
Okay, you have no excuses.
And you can also go online.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's barntheaterschool.org. And the box office number, 269-731-4121.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that'll get you in touch with the folks at the Barn. And Hans and Patrick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have to cue some music. I'm sorry, you guys. Keep chatting for me.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
We ended it on a really bloody note.
Well, and it's one of those shows that the Barn Theater, we've had great success with sort of offbeat material.
Yeah. Well, Rocky Horror is our best-selling show of all time.
Yeah.
And so this is sort of in the vein of Rocky Horror. I would say Evil Dead
is
a very similar sort of subgenre.
Right.
Well, you guys are such troopers. Thank you for hanging out with me for this hour on WMUK. And again, the Barn Theater can be found online at barntheaterschool.org or 269-731-4121. And here's something from the beginning of Sweeney Todd.
I have sailed the world, beheld its wonders, from the Dardanelles to the mountains of Peru. But there's no place like London. I feel home again. I could hear the city bells ring, whatever I would do. No, there's no place like London. Mr. Todd, sir? You are young. Life has been good.